Welcome to the Architect My Life podcast. I'm Maya Schlachter, serial entrepreneur and CEO of the MGS Global Group, where we serve architecture and design firms with project delivery, such as drafting, 3D visualization, and graphics production support. I am also the founder of Architect My Life. My goal is to help creative entrepreneurs such as architects and other design-related professionals scale their business to six or seven figures. I also show them how it's possible to do this while living a rich life outside their work, reclaiming time and energy for themselves and their families. Creatives were taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run and grow a business. Each podcast episode features a different entrepreneur from the creative industry who shares their journey towards success. If you have a growth story that others in our community could benefit from hearing, stick around to the end of the show to see how you could be a guest in one of our future episodes. Now, let's dive into this episode. I am very excited to introduce today's guest, Angela Matsey. Angela Matsey is a principal and partner at GBBN Architects. This is an architecture firm with over 200 employees and five offices nationwide. And she became partner 2 years ago after 11 years of working at GBBN. It's super impressive that you're one of the, you know, principals at this major firm. Also, she is a mother of two. And not that she's not busy enough, she started a community called Architecting, where she has written, I think, two books. She has a podcast with over 100 episodes, and she has a coaching. She also does coaching for career coaching, as well as she's a speaker and a thought leader. So I would like to welcome Angela to the podcast. Hi, Angela.
Hi. Thank you for having me. Wow. You know, I want to know that person you just described. It doesn't feel like that's me.
Well, it is. I was just amazed at the fact that you started Architecting, I think, 2 years ago.
Yes.
But you already have over 102 podcast episodes. That is really, you know, I'm a podcaster too, and that blows my mind. So congratulations. Tell me about yourself and how how you started, your youth or your upbringing.
Sure. So I always like to say space feels like something. And so even as a little girl, I was really sensitive to how if I climbed on top of the refrigerator, the kitchen looked very different. Or if I was under the coffee table in the living room, the perspective of what the room felt like and the dynamics changed a lot. And I was always looking for vantage points wherever I was. I would often get lost when we went out anywhere because I was looking for the fun little, you know, forgotten nooks and crannies and crevices. And I love to build things, but I had no idea that I wanted to be an architect. So I can't say it was a lifelong mission for me. My mother is the one who kind of connected the dots because I was ready to start applying for college as an art major, and she was very worried about career stability. And it's so funny because I toured an office and was like, okay, yeah, I could see this. But once I started college, I realized how I had always been doing all of these things. I just had never realized. And I think that's important because when we say, why isn't there more diversity in our profession, or why are there not more women? We often just don't see it modeled. There was no one in my family who did this kind of work. So it just never even occurred to me to pursue it as a career.
Well, you're doing pretty awesome. You know, considering you didn't really think about this as a career, just to become principal and partner in a 200 person firm, that's very commendable. So that is really, it seems like you have managed to balance your life, your personal life, your work life. How do you do all that with raising a family and two kids? How did you manage to, you know, do everything that you're doing And architecture is not easy. It's kind of a stressful profession.
It can be, but I learned very early on, I was still in school, that I could not burn the candle at both ends. I got really sick my second year of college because I had this nutball professor, and this woman would come to our studio at 2 a.m. thinking that we were going to be there. And there is this broken culture of endless iteration and constant questioning. And while I don't think it's, you know, the first thing you do is always right, I also think that you can work smarter and be more targeted in what you're doing. And it certainly gets easier the more experience you have to work more efficiently. But I learned to adopt a lot of high performance work habits. And the other thing that was always really important to me is that my career be more than my job. And, you know, it might have helped that the very first job I had after graduating, I was getting a lot of great professional development opportunities, working for some lovely people at a small firm, but I was basically in charge of building gas stations and convenience stores. So if I were to only show up every day and worry about that, there wasn't a whole lot there. But being involved in the community and professional organizations helped me build skills that were more aligned with my interests so that I could keep moving forward in my career.
That's great. And you mentioned something about high performance work habits. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So this is a term, you know, you can find all kinds of books about this, but essentially it means that you're efficient in what you do. And you also, this is counterintuitive, practice very rigorous self-care, because if you're tired, you're not working efficiently. If you're very stressed out, you're not in your highest brain, you're in the fight or flight response, you're not effectively managing situations and people. So working less and taking care of yourself and looking at how you can leverage the other people on your team and delegate is an important part of getting more done better in less time.
Okay, that's interesting, because a lot of architects, I always say this, creatives were not taught, we're taught how to master their craft, but not taught how to run or grow a business. And what you just said about high performance work habits is really not in our architecture vocabulary, because in our culture, the more you work, you know, they glorify the hours, the amount of hours you work. So how did you get into this space of mindfulness and becoming really high performing and, you know, finding these tools to help you survive? Like, I mean, you know, live a more holistic life, I suppose, you know. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it started with my health wouldn't support working too much. So that kind of forced some of the self-care habits. But also, I am a big believer that you shouldn't have to choose. And especially as a woman, I think many women feel they have to virtue signal. I'm a mom and I make time for my kids. And because they have that as a priority, they cannot go full speed in their career. And I've never believed that's true. Both of my grandmothers worked, my mother owned her own business. And I just never thought that I should have to compromise. Now, it doesn't mean you do everything all by yourself. I do get support. So my kids are a little bit older now, but I had a nanny. I did after school programs. I did partner with my now ex-husband, but you know, with childcare. I didn't try to do it all by myself either. I definitely got the support to give me the time I needed to focus a little bit more on my career. But I also didn't buy into the idea that spending more time with my kids was better than having more focused quality time with them.
You know, I completely agree. I had a conversation with my daughter, and she's 13. No, she's 15, and a lot of her 15-year-olds have angst. So, you know, one of her, you know, this is not just my daughter, but a lot of kids nowadays, especially the kids whose parents stopped working because of them, you know, sometimes there's resentment that the mom would say, you know, I could have been an architect, but because you were born, like, you know, I gave up my career for you. So, you know, I completely understand. And I'm the same way. I never stopped working. I stopped for the first 2 months of maternity leave, mm-hmm. but I went back to work. And I also had a community and supportive family members, because at the end of the day, we inspire our children to be, you know, working and ambitious and, you know, hardworking. And just the values of, you know, working hard is really important. So,
love that you said that, because I think we spend all our time telling our kids they can be whatever they want, but then we don't want them to see both parents actually fully realizing that.
Yeah. And I think it's a good, I mean, I also had a lot of mother's guilt. I'm Filipino, and like, I work a lot and I run my own businesses. And, you know, like, I feel guilty that I work a lot, but at the same time, my kids can see a strong mother, a hardworking mother, as a successful mother, but I never, you know, neglected them. I'm always there, but, you know, I also have a career. And I think it, I mean, like I said, my kids are amazing. I'm sure yours are too. And they're well adjusted to our lives. How did you start architecting, and what sparked this whole architecting community?
I'm sure. So I had a blog that I started in 2010 that was called The Patron Saint of Architecture. And it happened at a time in my career when I was feeling particularly disillusioned that firms, like you said, were not necessarily run by people who knew how to run a business, even if they were talented architects. I was at a very toxic firm. I felt beaten down by some very demanding clients, and I thought there has to be a better way. And that was when I wrote my first book in 2013, Career Crisis, which was kind of a compilation of how do we get out of it, right? Because if you're going to blog, you can't just complain. You have to get to the resolution. So it started helping me to reframe things and help others. And then I just started getting busy and stopped doing any articles in about 2016. And then I was working with a career coach in 2020 who encouraged me to start a podcast. And at first I was like, I don't have time for this. Come on. And she's like, no, this is really what you should do. And so I did a lot of research. I talked to a lot of women architects, tried to really get a lot more focused on not just my own issues, but what was going on in the industry, and very consciously tried to create a brand that was an outlaw brand, not a rebel. Because we're not fighting, we're just saying we're going to do it our way, and that we have the right to do that. So the very first episode aired January 4th of 2021, and that was probably the hardest one because I felt like I had to set the tone and introduce it. But now it's gotten to the point where an idea will pop into my head and I'll just record. And it's worked pretty well. It's been a lot of fun. I try to get 2 episodes out a week. And for the most part, I've been able to do that. And I make them about 20 minutes long so that it's not too overwhelming to record it or to edit it, but also to listen to. Most people don't have an hour and they're not going to listen to a whole podcast if it's not short.
I actually listened to one of your solo episodes about time management, time blocking. And I do the same thing, but it took a while. You know, it takes a lot of discipline to organize your life and be intentional and schedule everything on your calendar. And, you know, so that was a nice episode that I listened to. I can't believe 2 episodes a week. That's a lot. So tell us about the other book that you wrote, Time Builder.
Yeah, sure. So I put that together. I probably started writing it in the spring of last year and finished it up in July, I think. And again, it was sort of one of the things I hear the most from people is I'm too busy. And well, I'm not going to argue that someone does have a lot of demands on their time. I also think you make time for the things you want to do and excuses for everything else. And unfortunately, sometimes the everything else are things that matter, things you care about, dreams you've had, but you're not giving yourself permission to make time for them. And, you know, the deadlines will always be there. We'll always be busy or we wouldn't have a job. And so you've got to learn how to reprioritize. So you're getting what I call the compulsories done. Like, you know, you have to do your laundry. You have to show up at work and you have to meet deadlines. Of course, these things are not negotiable. But it's just as important to make time for the freestyle, which is that professional development, and also to make time for the self-care so that you're not burned out.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of discipline to carve out time for yourself. I think, you know, I always believe in, it's called strategic procrastination. Sometimes when you just like strategically do nothing, that's when all the ideas come and simmer in your brain. And then, you know, after 2 to 3 days of thinking and simmering, then a lot of the ideas actually are better because you took a little bit of a pause to clear your mind, right? And one of the things that I really admire about you is that you have a career coach as well. We all, I mean, you mentioned you have a coach. See, I think all of us need a coach because, you know, we're all limited in our knowledge, right? So having a career coach, I think, is really important, especially if you want to carve out the life that, you know, advocating for better work-life balance and connecting career with your purpose. And I really love that statement of yours, connecting career with purpose. Can you, you know, expand on that a little bit?
Sure. So it's getting back in touch with your why. You know, why did you go to architecture school in the first place? What really excites you? And different people are going to have different answers. Some people are going to say, I love exploring materiality. Other people are going to say sustainability. Other people are going to say user experience. But if you can't connect the dots and feel that the work you're doing every day is in some way, I mean, certainly some things are going to be bigger contributors than others, but you're still moving the ball down the field in terms of your evolution around the things that light you up, because otherwise it's just busy work. And you see so many architects, and this is a creative profession, we forget that.
Yeah,
that are just in a rut where all they're doing, I'm writing contracts, I'm doing the schedule, I'm billing my clients, I'm working on this deadline, I'm drawing a detail, you know, so much of it is the mundane. And yeah. Again, not that you don't do that, but there has to be more than that. That's not your why.
Yeah. And you know, the mundane, like I remember when I just graduated from architecture school, I was doing red lines all day long because, you know, that's what, you know, new graduates do. And I was complaining, I didn't go to architecture school to do red lines. And I got pissed. But my project manager said, Aya, you need to learn, you know, this is a learning experience for you. See what kind of mistakes you made and how red lines is not actually just red lines. If you really look at the detail and understand it, you're getting so much value in the mundane. So again, finding purpose in red lines, you know, like it's not just fixing the things on CAD, but realizing what that line means exactly, right? In terms of the architecture detailing. So I always ask this to a lot of my guests. What were your biggest career challenges and how did you overcome it?
So I think my biggest career challenge was trying to prove myself too much. You know, because it's really easy to learn the hard skills and to do them. The soft skills are a little bit tougher. And I'm an introvert. So often if I get a vibe from someone that, you know, I'm not their favorite person, I tend to have this reaction, well, I'm not for everyone, bless and release, and just sort of, you know, separate myself from the situation. And it takes a lot for me to catch myself when I do that and say, no, don't pull away. You need to engage, and you need to engage in a way that's sympathetic and empathetic and curious, that doesn't just make this person a bad actor or a thorn in your side, but someone who also wants a good outcome. And how do you approach them? How do you engage them? How do you work together effectively, even if they may not be your favorite person who you would, you know, be, they'll pick them to be on your team. Sometimes we have to work with people that are more challenging, and we can't just pull away because we meet a challenge.
That's very interesting, because oftentimes when you feel like you're not doing the right thing or you're not a good match for your clients, it's easier just to pull away. You know, it's, that's the easy solution, but to engage and find solutions to solve the problem, it's, is more difficult, and it's emotionally taxing. Like, how do you navigate around the emotions of, you know, unhappy clients? I mean, that's a real issue with especially firm owners. People get attached to their work and it bothers them so much that it affects their sleep and their lives.
Yeah. And I, you know, years ago, I had a client like that who I would wake up in the middle of the night going, oh my God, I got to think about this and I got to do that, you know, and it would just freak me out. It would be hard to even go back to sleep. And it never feels good if a client isn't happy with you, but it is important to ask questions, not give reasons, because no matter how good the reasons were for why you did what you did, they don't like it or it didn't work. And so explaining isn't problem solving. And in our own minds, we want to explain, because otherwise we fall into this anger, guilt, and shame trap where we feel horrible. But well, that's good to process. What the client needs to see is a solution. So if you don't like that, what specifically don't you like? Let's talk this through. Let's see what we could resolve. If something went wrong, how can we work to fix it? And, you know, stay high level with it and stay solution oriented. And remember, it's almost never about you. We let our egos drive the car way too much, and our ego makes everything about us. You know, maybe they just had a bad day and they're extra cranky, but if all you're doing is reacting, you're not able to have the emotional intelligence to maybe see what the meta issues are in the situation and be a little bit more empathetic.
I like that. Like, it's not about you, you know, it's never about you. It's just work and business. And I think a lot of our audience needs to hear this, because I think a lot of women architects get burnt out really because of unhappy clients, but, or like stressful deadlines or some mistakes that we make in the field or drafting mistakes, whatever, you know, we just have to find a solution together and not feel anger, guilt, and shame. I like that. Find a solution. What else? Anything else you want to add? I'm just, you know, about talk about your coaching program and who, you know, who are you trying to coach? Like business owners or people in their mid-careers?
Yeah, I mostly focus on those late, early to mid-career people who've been working a while and are at that point where they're going, oh, is this all there is? And one of my favorite questions to ask people is, why are you doing this? And it catches them off guard because they've numbed out. And they are hitting that point where they thought they had to pay their dues, and they're kind of feeling like they've done that. And they're saying, why am I not further along? Like, I have to confess, I used to get to a point where I would not open an architecture magazine because it made me feel bad about myself. Because I would look at people and be like, they're younger than me and they're in this magazine. And I look at me, what am I doing? And I think we all kind of deal with that. But what we have to realize is it's our own choices that got us into this rut, but every day is our starting line. And that is really what I try to do with my clients, is have them get in touch with their why, have them really kind of almost create their own manifestos so that they have a guiding principles by which to make decisions and to help prioritize the things that they do, to help encourage them to say, yes, I know you were mentioning the importance of coaching. And one of the biggest things is that we're myopic. We've all done everything we know to do. And if you're still not where you want to be, you probably need help because you don't know what else to do. And that's nothing to feel bad about. We all do that. We're all myopic about our own situations and our own lives because we're too close. We're in it. Having the perspective of an outsider, having, when you complain about something and in your mind, it's very set and this is the way it is, and having someone else go, really? Does it have to be that way? And then you're like, oh yeah, I guess it doesn't. But we don't know to ask those questions or challenge those beliefs on our own. So that's a lot of the work that I do with my clients, is really, really getting them much more aligned with their passions, making the time to do the things that are really going to be the game changers for them instead of saying they're too busy, and balancing their lives so that it's not all about work. Because as you know, we get so much more done when we have fresh perspective than when we're exhausted and burned out.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, especially now when the world is opening up and there's so much construction, people are hiring and it's hard to find good people. Everyone is overwhelmed. You just have to take a break. I always tell my friends who are in the profession that, you know, a deadline, if we don't meet our deadline, no one's going to die. We're not doctors. I always say that. I mean, you can always ask for an extension, you know, don't stress out too much. You know, things happen, life happens, but that's such a great, what you just said, every day is a starting line. I love that. We can always reset. It's like a diet, right? I'll diet today.
Yeah, and nothing's ever wasted either. Like, even if something was a colossal failure, what can you learn? Exactly. You know, it's a bigger version of those red lines. What can you learn from what you did wrong?
Yeah. And I think one of the things that we as business owners, architects, creatives, is also learn how to compartmentalize, right? Just like, okay, work ends here. Now it's personal time. Try not to, you know, mix everything up or else we'll all go crazy, right? What's next for you, Angela?
So one thing I would love to do, I really want to create a digital course. I have one that you can find on my website, Architecting Podcast, but I would like to create a more expanded course and do it live and really reach more people around this whole topic of balancing your creativity and how do you make the time to be that thought leader and have the confidence to do it. I'd also love to do a live event, you know, maybe a speaking gig or be invited to be a speaker at a live event. So those are kind of goals for me in the next year, to see if I can maybe make that happen.
So does it have to be an architecture event or just any career event? Or
I think anything, but yeah, it would be great to be a keynote speaker at a conference, I think, and, you know, really feel like you were having the impact. You know, for me, it's not about the ego of saying I did this. It's about reaching people and sharing a message that is so dear to my heart and that I think creative professionals in general just aren't hearing.
Yeah, that's so true. So where can people find you?
So if you want to learn more about my work in healthcare and research, you can go to gbbn.com, our company website. And if you'd like to learn more about architecting and join the community, you can go to architectingpodcast.com. And there you can sign up for the newsletter and get, you know, weekly updates on what's going on. I've got some great free downloads there. You can also subscribe to the podcast and listen in on that. I'm on most social media, so LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can also find us on Clubhouse. I do a weekly room called Architects as Healers, Buildings as Medicine, that where we bring in different folks who work involves the built environment and well-being. And then I do a monthly room called Critical Conversations about some of the issues we've been talking about, these career-related nuts and bolts kinds of issues.
Wow, that's great. I'm also going to put that in the show notes as well so people can find you. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed the conversation. You gave us so much wisdom about work-life balance, about finding your career and purpose, about being solution-oriented. You know, I needed to hear that again. And every day is a starting line. So thank you so much, Angela. And I'm sure we will meet again in an event or a speaking engagement in the future. Thank you.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me on. It was my honor to be on your show. You're doing great work.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Architect My Life podcast. We'd love to hear from you on social media using the hashtag Architect My Life podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at @Aya_ArchitectMyLife. That's Aya, A-Y-A. _ArchitectMyLife. And for women firm owners, I invite you to join the Architect My Life private Facebook group. If you haven't already, we'd appreciate it if you'd subscribe to the show, as well as rate or review us wherever you access podcasts. And if you think you have something to add to the conversation through your success running a business, we invite you to apply to be a guest in one of our upcoming episodes. Visit architectmylife.com/podcast to learn more. Maybe you're not in a position to share your success story yet. That's okay. Take your business to the next level with our coaching and online courses. Get everything you need at architectmylife.com. Remember, there is a way to manage it all so you can achieve more. I'm Aya Schlachter. Thanks again for listening.